It was denied by the district court when they issued an order dismissing the petition without a hearing. The appellant then filed a motion to vacate on September 27th, but the motion to vacate was denied on November 6th by order of the court. This appeal was then subsequently filed on November 29th.
So you are not contending that the motion that was filed on September 27th was a motion to alter or amend the judgment or should be treated as such because it was not filed within 10 days, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So you rise or fall based on a motion to vacate theory?
Yes, Your Honor. We do not contend that this was filed timely for a motion for new trial or anything like that or alter and amend. So simply a motion to vacate, as the court has said, as long as it's filed within term, is a proper motion. It's this denial of the motion to vacate from which we're seeking redress today.
Can you use that as an end run around the limitations to appeal?
No, Your Honor. I don't believe that is an issue in this case. Again, the case law is clear that a motion to vacate, as long as it's filed within term, as it was in this particular case, the term in the District 12 is within the calendar year. So, again, I think the motion to vacate was timely filed. I don't believe it would be an end run in that there's proper safeguards, I believe, to make sure that doesn't happen. As in this case, there's a proper standard of review for motions to vacate, which is an abuse of discretion. So if there's...
I didn't really mean to interrupt, but you're not contending that you or your client was not notified promptly of the initial denial of the renewal of the protection order?
No, Your Honor. We are not contending that at all.
So there would have been time within 10 days to file the motion had the party chosen to do so.
Yes, Your Honor, I would agree with that. The issue in this case, as I mentioned, that this was denied without a hearing. There was no record. Motion for a new trial wouldn't have been a proper motion as there was no trial to redo. The motion to vacate, we believe, was really the only avenue for relief, aside from an appeal.
Motion to alter or amend? Would a motion to alter or amend been possible?
Yes, again, at the time... At the time that, by the time the appellant got to us, the 10 days had elapsed. So at that time, the motion to vacate was really the only option that was available to her, aside again from the option to appeal.
What was the basis for the motion to vacate?
The motion to vacate was based on our belief that the district court did not have the authority to deny a miscreant a hearing without, or deny the petition without first granting a hearing. As we lay out in our brief, we believe that the Domestic Abuse Protection Order Act requires that a trial court either issue an ex parte order for the protection order or set it for hearing and hear the matter.
So it was erroneous?
Yes, Your Honor. I guess we would argue that...
But it wasn't void, was it?
Your Honor, I would argue that it could be void if the protection order, if this court determines that the statutes require or did not give the authority to the district court to dismiss it without hearing, I think they went beyond the statutory limits that they had, or they didn't follow the statutory scheme.
The court had jurisdiction of the subject matter, right?
Yes.
And it had jurisdiction of your client.
Yes.
How do you get to void?
Again, Your Honor, I would argue that the domestic abuse protection orders are a creature of statute, and the statutes themselves lay out the procedure. Again, in this particular case, I'm referring to Chapter 42, Section 925, and although the two-option approach that I'm referring to, where either a district court has to grant an ex parte or hearing, that particular issue is a matter of first impression for this court. The Court of Appeals has discussed this particular issue on a couple of different cases, and they've made it very clear that when those protection orders come before the district court, before trial court, they either grant it ex parte or they have to set it for hearing.
Excuse me, Judge.
Go ahead.
What if the petition simply doesn't include any kinds of allegations that would warrant a domestic abuse protection order? May court then deny it?
Your Honor,
you seem to be saying no. You seem to be saying that the judge is without authority to deny something for failing to meet the statutory criteria.
Your Honor, I would say no, the judge cannot. I think maybe if there is a very, very patent defect where they just simply aren't, they don't meet the definition of family member, someone who qualifies for a domestic abuse protection order, perhaps that would be a different scenario.
So where do we find ourselves? Is this the correct articulation that the trial judge did not have authority to not hold a hearing?
Yes, Your Honor, that is our position.
And rule. Is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Was there a loss of subject matter jurisdiction?
At what point, Your Honor, I guess?
By filing an order which you claim was not an authorized order.
Well, I guess going back to the issue of whether the ruling was a void order, Your Honor, I think it could be classified as such. Or I think this court could find that the order itself was simply an abuse of discretion by not following the statutory scheme that's laid out.
So if we're back in the abuse of discretion framework, you're actually attacking the content of the order, the original order, the October order denying, or not an August order denying, and consequently you didn't file the motion to alter or amend within 10 days, and don't we have all sorts of cases that say after that motions to reconsider simply are an invitation and do not extend the time for appeal?
Well, again, Your Honor, I would argue that the reason we have a, we can review these motions to vacate is for that standard that we have abuse of discretion. If we're going to look at this case and say that the judge went beyond the powers that they had for the statute, I would say that qualifies in a clear abuse of discretion.
But again, you're going back to the August 31st order, aren't you? Not the denial of the motion to vacate.
No, Your Honor, I would argue that.
But aren't you saying?
I understand the question, Your Honor. I think this particular case is complicated by that fact because this issue has not been taken up by this court about whether the Domestic Abuse Protection Act requires that. I think you have to subsequently go back and look at whether it does require that. Because if it does, I would say the judge did abuse its discretion. It didn't have the discretion to do what it did. And the only
to do what it did, which was deny without a hearing.
Yes, but also
and was to, that event an appealable event?
And I'm sorry, I'll rephrase. To do what it did, and I meant to say the motion to vacate. It did not have at that point the discretion to not vacate its order.
I'm sorry, but my question was back earlier in the timeline,
yes,
right?
Yes,
deny
right.
Without a hearing. Was that an order that would have been appealable?
I think on its own, yes, Your Honor, I think it would have been appealable. And again, the issue that we're appealing is the motion to vacate. Again, we're simply asking the court to look at, did the district court judge in this case abuse its discretion in not granting our motion to vacate? One of the complications in these types of cases is that a motion to vacate may be the only legitimate source to try and rectify a wrong that's done by the district court. Appeals process
It's only, in this instance, it's the only avenue because your client didn't exercise the avenue that was available within 10 days.
Yes, Your Honor, I would agree to that to a point. In reality, the issue here is that the appeals process obviously is very time-consuming, and with the exigency of protection orders, I would argue that a motion to vacate is the only option where they can see a clear path to that protection order in a reasonable time
frame. So your argument is there's something special about domestic violence protection orders that we should treat them differently than perhaps we have done with other kinds of cases and appeals?
Your Honor, I think there is a lot of truth to that for a number of reasons. There isn't a lot of cases where a judge can look at the petition and say, I'm going to deny that, I'm just going to throw it out without having any sort of hearing, without hearing from anybody else. So I think they are distinct. I think the time frame that they're granted a year also creates a problem, as I mentioned, for the appeals process to take effect. But I see that I'm out of time. We are actually asking the court to vacate and remand the case with instructions to the trial court to set a hearing in accordance with the Protection from Domestic Abuse Act. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There is no appellee in this case, so we will go on to the next case of the day, which is Williamson.